Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing, and this is your show host, Randy Fine. Today we have back with us our friend, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and this is his fourth guest visit to A Fine Time for Healing. But today we're going to talk about 10 signs that fatigue isn't normal. Dr. Teitelbaum is one of the most frequently quoted integrative medical authorities in the world. He is the author of the best-selling From Fatigued to Fantastic, Pain-Free 1-2-3, The Complete Guide to Beating Sugar Addiction, Real Cause, Real Cure, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, I should be able to say that since I have it, and the popular free smartphone app Cures A through Z. He is the lead author of 4 studies on effective treatment for fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, and a study on effective treatment of autism using NA. So let's get started. We have a lot to talk about. So let me introduce you. Good morning, Dr. Teitelbaum. Good afternoon, Randy.
Well, I live in Hawaii, so it's still morning. And
is it really? Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Heaven is a little earlier than it is on the rest of the planet, I think. But, today, for those listeners, if you're the one in three people who have pain, if you're the one of the 31% of Americans suffering with severe fatigue, or the over 95% who just wish they would have more energy, by the end of the show today, you're going to know exactly what to do to be feeling great.
Okay. That's a heavy promise, so we're going to hold you to it.
Let's do this.
Okay, let's do it. So before we went on air, I was telling you that I do have fibromyalgia, and, it's causing me a lot of pain. And last show, we talked about the supplement Curamin, which I have started taking, but I've taken it for 3 weeks now. You say it really takes 6 weeks before it fully kicks in. So I'm looking forward to that. But you were saying that it's important to treat the underlying condition. So what do you mean by that?
Absolutely. For those of you who, in addition to fatigue, also can't get a good night's sleep no matter how much time you make, you need to be looking to see if you have something called fibromyalgia. And that's when you have not just the fatigue, but you have widespread pain, insomnia, and brain fog. And for those of you wondering if you have it, there's a lot of free tools. So we have this website, www.vitality101.com. There's a quiz you can do there, and it'll tell you right off the bat if you have fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome. But this illness represents an energy crisis where you essentially blew a fuse. It's called a hypothalamus. So it's not enough to just take any pain medication or even the herbals for the pain. You've got to go to the root causes of the energy crisis. And to do that takes what we call the SHINE protocol. And this was studied in our published double-blind placebo-controlled study where 91% of people with fibromyalgia improved with an average 90% increase in quality of life. Fibromyalgia is incredibly treatable. The problem is that most doctors have no education on how to treat it. So to optimize how you feel, Randy, this isn't just a matter of taking a pain medication to treat the pain. You've got to treat the energy crisis, and you do that with what's called SHINE. You need to optimize sleep, and it's going to take a mix of natural and prescription therapies because the sleep center is not working. That's the circuit breaker that gets tripped in fibromyalgia. You need to optimize hormones across the board. We'll talk about some of those today. Infections, beginning especially with candida. We'll talk about that today, too. Nutritional support. A very good way, what I recommend for anybody who wants more energy, there's a vitamin powder called the Energy Revitalization System, where one drink replaces over 35 pills. It just makes it easy. And for those of you listening, if you get the Energy Revitalization System vitamin powder and also something called SHINE Ribose, just take one scoop of each, put in a glass of water, add water to it and stir. And what you'll find is that in the studies on ribose, energy increased an average of 61% after 3 weeks. So you do these, and you're going to find that your energy is going to start to skyrocket. And as the energy production in the muscles go up, muscles are like a spring. If they don't have enough energy, they get stuck in a shortened position. To help you relax and stretch them takes energy, and that's what the SHINE protocol will do. It's funny, Randy. There's one of me, and I treat people from all over the world, often by phone consultation, and it's a three-hour consult because this is a very complex illness. And I realize not everybody can afford a consultation with a specialist, and there's only one of me and 50 million people on the planet with fibro. So I actually hold the U.S. patent for computerized doctor. I created a protocol that can assess people's symptoms and even their lab tests, and we've modified it so that it looks for how to optimize energy production. And we used to charge $400 for it, but then everybody was writing back, but I'm like broke. I've been disabled for years. I have no money. So my wife and I decided to just make it free for everybody. So if you go to the website, www.vitality101.com, it's worth writing that one down, vitality101.com, and look at the free energy analysis program. You do that 10-minute quiz, Randy, and it will show you what's causing your energy drain, and how to optimize energy production. We'll give a very detailed protocol for that. A lot of stuff in the beginning, but they're like crutches. Our studies show after 2 years, most people are able to come off of most of these treatments because then you're fueled up and you're able to go forward. And if you want to recover and really effectively get your life back from the fibromyalgia, do that program. That's my gift to the planet, to make effective treatment available for everybody.
Okay, good. That's awesome. I definitely will do that. So so you said the Energy Revitalization System, one scoop, and SHINE Ribose, what is it?
Ribose, R-I-B-O-S-E.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Okay. So, all right, I'm going to take a look at all of those things and get started. So let's see. All right. So, actually, we talked about some signs that your fatigue is not normal and what they mean. So, the first one I have here is insomnia. So, let's talk about
that. That's a warning sign for fibromyalgia, as you said. So, if you can't sleep even though you're exhausted, that's a paradox. Most people who are exhausted can sleep all day and all night. But if you can't sleep despite being exhausted, that's a sign that you've tripped a circuit breaker, kind of blown a fuse. And that circuit controls sleep, along with hormones and blood pressure. So that's why the insomnia combined with fatigue suggests that fibromyalgia may be in play or something that should be prevented if it's not already in force.
Okay, so then the second thing is exhausted through the day, which sort of goes along with that. But you talk about poor nutrition and sugar and sleep. And is this something, is there something different about the exhaustion through the day?
Mm-hmm. If you can get a good night's sleep, despite being exhausted, that suggests you do not have fibromyalgia. You haven't yet blown a fuse, although your body may be purchased for that, so you want to take preventive measures for that. And the quickest things for that, one, we had talked about optimizing nutrition, and the things we talked about, the vitamin powder and the ribose, those are two really good ways to begin. For most people, if they simply do those two things and make time for sleep, so make sure you're getting time. It's good for people to know, Randy, that the average night's sleep, average in the United States until 135 years ago, was 9 hours a night. Most of human history, an average night's sleep is 9 to 11 hours. The average American is now getting 6 3/4, which is a 30% pay cut in regeneration time to the body. So an important thing to do is to start by making time for sleep. And this is where people say, but oh my God, my life's so crazy, how am I going to do that? And here's what you do. You make a list of the things where you spend your time on the day, during the day, and you have two columns, things that feel good and things that don't. And then you look at the thing in the column of things that don't feel good, school meetings, other committee meetings, watching the network news, which is, I hate to say it, I mean, I'm on Fox, I'm on CNN. They're sweet people, but it's a load of rubbish. You know, it's basically a dramatization meant to scare you so much that you will watch and make you hate everybody so much that you will watch for 24 hours a day so they can sell advertising. I'm sorry, but, you know, and it's not healthy. And so if it feels bad, which for me it takes me about 10 seconds till I'm grinding my teeth watching it, turn it off. It's funny, Randy, Mark Twain put it really well. He said that if you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. If you do watch the news, you're misinformed. So things haven't changed that much, you know, since then.
Isn't that amazing?
Take that time for sleep. You know, things you don't enjoy doing. Ask yourself two questions. One, will I be arrested if I don't do it? And two, will I be fired if I don't do it and be homeless? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, cut them loose. Take that time for sleep. Stay with the things that feel good. And you'll find with these simple things, and again, the energy analysis program you mentioned will assess the different factors, pretty much all the things we're going to talk about today, and tell you what's going on in your case and how to address them. So those simple things, sleep and nutrition, those are the starting points for people who just drag their sorry bottoms through a life all day.
Wow. I guess there's a lot of people out there. People are really tapped out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I do is I do sleep, but it's probably not a productive kind of sleep, a restful,
mm-hmm.
fully restful kind of sleep, even though it feels like it, but obviously it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the third thing is pain, which we talked about, and you say this can come from decreased energy overall and inflammation.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about the curcumin. There's, if anybody wants to take a fish oil supplement, the only one I use is called Vectomega, because one pill a day replaces 7. I don't like people taking handfuls of pills all day. And it's really powerful for decreasing inflammation. But here's the thing for pain. First of all, again, doctors are simply not taught about pain management. What they're taught is that give them Motrin or Tylenol. Don't let them fool you into giving you narcotics unless they have cancer. If there's something we can slash for cash, I'm sorry, if you can do something surgically to help, go for it.
slash for cash.
And that anybody who's not a doctor who says they can help pain is a quack. So basically they're taught nothing and that anybody who can help, you know, just chase people away from them. So here's what you need to know if you have pain. Pain is not an outside invader. It's not an infection. It's not anything like that. Pain is part of your body's normal monitoring system, telling you something needs attention. It's kind of like the oil light on your car's dashboard. You know, if your oil light goes off, that's really annoying. So you take your car to the medical doctor, and the doctor says, well, that's an annoying red flashing thing. Let's put a Band-Aid over it. You know how well that works out. And say the Band-Aid won't stick, or it's still, you can see it through the Band-Aid. They say, okay, let me take a hammer and smash that light, cut it out, you know. Well, that's one way to deal with a flashing oil light, but that we call pain. But how about if we just put oil in the car? That's something that doctors don't even think about. Now, each kind of pain is telling us it's like a different warning light on a car's dashboard. And the problem is we don't have an owner's manual, or at least we didn't used to. Now that everybody has iPhones and Androids, there's a free app. It's called Cures, C-U-R-E-S, and then A to Z. So Cures, capital A dash Z. And you look up each kind of pain, or really over 100 different health conditions, and it'll simply say, here's what's causing it. So it's kind of like if you pull the owner's manual out and it says red flashing light, this is oil, put oil in the car. So it'll go through each of those things and tell you what you need to do. So whether you have nerve pain, or the most common causes of pain are from low energy, which causes muscle pain. So even if you have a local pain, back pain, tension headaches, low energy in the muscles, or from inflammation. For the inflammation, the Curamin and the Vector Omega, there's another one called End Pain, which is synergistic with those. Very simple ways to rebalance inflammation in the body and also to restore energy. And it's amazing when you do that how pain goes away. I used to live in Annapolis, Randy, and I was walking down, and that's on the Chesapeake Bay. I was walking down by the city harbor one day, and I see this guy eyeing me from across the street. And, you know, I keep walking, and he keeps eyeing me, and suddenly he dashes across the street, weaving through traffic. And he looks at me and says, you're Dr. Teitelbaum, aren't you? And the guy's like 6'8" or something. And it's like, I say, yes. And he grabs me in a big bear hug and lifts me up. And I say, we haven't had a first date yet. Can you put me down? And he says, I'm sorry. And apologize. Just that I had had horrible back pain for decades. Nothing would help it. And then I took the vitamin powder, and the pain went away. So Simply giving energy to the muscles and balancing inflammation, you're going to find that a lot of pain just goes away without all of these traumatic, toxic things, including without needing narcotics. And for those of you who have pain, who are on narcotics, you need to know something right now. The government, God bless our government, they're idiots, but they declared a war on pain about 15 years ago because 1 out of 4 Americans had pain. But they gave doctors no information on how to treat pain, so they started giving more narcotics. And what happened now is you have 15,000 deaths a year from narcotic overdoses from prescribed narcotics. Now, what they don't talk about, and you won't see it in the media or anything, I mean, there's a massive study of 500,000 patients that showed that taking Motrin family medications, ibuprofen, those sorts of things, are associated with basically it causes about 30,000 to 50,000 deaths a year in the United States. 15,000 from narcotic overdoses, 50,000 from ibuprofen-related medications. But again, I don't know, Randy, if you get any advertising from the Motrin company, so I apologize for pissing them off. They'll tell you not to have me back on again. Oh, good. Okay.
I don't. So, no advertising. So, no, that's the beauty of the show. I'm not run by anybody.
Oh, good. So you mean you get to speak the truth? Oh, my God. Well, this is very unique. Okay, I love being here.
Yeah.
So if you're on narcotics, here's what you need to know. You can get off the narcotics by treating the root cause of the pain most of the time. But the narcotics are much less toxic than the chronic pain. So if somebody needs narcotics for the pain, then they need them. And, you know, then you take measures to make sure that it's done safely, and that's a whole other show. But but right now your doctor is being terrified by the government. They're being basically afraid of being arrested if they prescribe it. So you're going to find that when you go to fill your prescription and get it, you're going to be treated like you're a drug addict. And all I can tell you is they're idiots. Ignore them. They're getting caught up in this, like, it's basically a terrorist information wave. It'll pass. and realize that it's okay. If you need them, you need them. And there are alternatives. But, you know, that they're treating you like a drug addict doesn't mean you are one. You're not. The old Talmudic saying, Randy, don't let the turkeys get you down. It's like yeah.
I know, I mean, I never had that problem with narcotics, but I know I've been to the hospital in, you know, pretty bad shape because of the fatigue, and I've really, really run down. I've been accused of being a drug addict, too.
So got time to kiss off.
Yeah, it's like, you know, guys, you know, help me out here. Okay, so the next one, we're going to talk about the thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
How does the thyroid affect all this?
The thyroid is our body's gas pedal. It's kind of like the setting on the thermostat in your home. And if it's the middle of winter and the thermostat is set at 50 and stuck there and you can't get any higher, you're going to be freezing. And if your energy-producing dial on your body's thermostat or gas pedal is stuck and it can't go over a certain level, you're going to be cold intolerant, have weight gain. You may also sometimes have constipation and achiness and a host of other things. But fatigue, weight gain, and cold intolerance suggest that you need thyroid hormone, even if you have just two of those. And even if the blood tests are normal, so here's another key point, folks. If your doctor is trained to do the blood test for thyroid but has been giving no training on how to interpret them, what the normal ranges mean. What they've been taught, basically, is that if it's in the normal range, you're fine, which is insane. It has nothing to do with reality or what the science shows. Mm-hmm. The purpose for the normal range, and if you ask a doctor, oh, okay, doc, say I'm normal because I'm in the normal range, where did the normal range come from? And the doctor will scratch their head, having never thought of that ever before in their whole life, even though they're totally relying on it. And they'll say, well, I think experts got together and said that if it's in this range, it's fine. No such thing. What it is that they take 100 people, they do the test, and they apply a statistical thing called two standard deviations, which means the 95 people in the middle are defined as a normal range. So a normal range for shoe sizes would be size 7 to 14 or 6 to 14. And say, you know, we leave our shoes at the door here in Hawaii, Randy, and we don't want to track the lava. And so we get our shoes mixed up. And at the end of the evening, I'm wearing your size 8 and you're wearing my size 13. And we go to the shoe doctor and you say, the shoe's too big. He says, no, honey, it's in the normal range. It's fine. And I'm saying, I can't get my toe in this thing. He says, no, Jacob, it's a size 8. It's smack dab in the normal range. No problem. That's an exact analogy to what's going on here. So tired, achy, cold intolerant, weight gain, constipated, unexplained infertility, any two of those, see a holistic doctor. They will give you probably the bioidentical thyroid hormone called armor thyroid or glandular. And it should not be adjusted to the blood test. It should be adjusted to the dose that feels best for you. And when you find that dose, then they should check not a TSH, which is a horrible test. They should check a free T4 blood test to make sure that it's not too high or on the high side for safety. And that's it. It's not rocket science, but it's just not done properly. Over half the people with low thyroid have normal tests, and the other half that are treated, half of them are treated, and they don't feel better. And the doctors say, well, then there's nothing wrong with you. And, no, it's because they're treating it wrong. So that's thyroid.
Okay. And what about when we're hangry?
If you get irritable and hungry, that's a sign of drops in blood sugar caused by adrenal fatigue. And if you think doctors don't know how to diagnose thyroid, they look like rocket scientists compared to how they handle adrenal fatigue. So how do you tell if you have low adrenal causing your fatigue? Well, that irritability when hungry. And if you have that, I want you to print up a little card and give it to your honey, and it'll say, when I am irritable, do not reason with me, just feed me. Okay. And it's cheaper than divorce lawyers or marriage counseling. It's just so much better because it's a drop in blood sugar, and it's like you're suffocating as far as your brain's concerned. And it's just anything between you and that Twinkie, it's like getting between a mama bear and a cub. It's like not going to work. So a couple simple things. One, you want to cut back sugar, which I know is hard to say now because you sugar crave when you're irritable. That sugar craving will go away with what we're telling you. So you want to increase salt and water intake. Salt is your friend. A lot of salt. You want to drink water. Don't put the salt in the water. It's gross. And then there's a supplement called Adrenaplex. And it's a mix of licorice, adrenal glandulars, other nutrients that will really support adrenal function and just smooth out the whole thing for you. So it's not that hard to do. But again, let your spouse, your best friends, whatever, know. Again, when I get irritable, just feed me. And know that yourself. Feed me. And it doesn't
feed me, I'm hungry.
Exactly. Like, you don't need a Snickers bar.
Real
food. Protein will maintain stable blood sugar. You can keep a packet of sugar in your pocket and just put a couple crystals under your tongue when you have one of these things, because that's all it takes to break the attack without putting you on a sugar roller coaster. And then eat protein. Eggs, fish, cheese, meat, beans, rice, anything where it'll give you a stable protein intake.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Okay. So we have about 10 more minutes, and we got about 5 more things to move through. So let's quickly go. Do you fall asleep during the day while watching TV, or worse, if you're driving?
Absolutely, and that's called hypersomnolence, and that's a straightforward thing. You want to look for sleep apnea, especially if you're overweight, if you snore at night, if you have high blood pressure, you have a shirt collar size of 16 and a half or larger. You want to set up your cell phone on videotape mode, and videotape, put it at the foot of your bed so you can see your feet and your face while you're sleeping, and hit record and go to sleep. You want to see if you have periods where you snore, followed by where you stop breathing and then gasp for air. If you're seeing those and you have sleep apnea, and you should let your doctors know you have sleep apnea so they can do the proper treatment, and that can make a big difference for the daytime fatigue.
Okay, good. Okay, so that's the next one you talk about. Does your bed partner feel like they're being kicked around all night?
Absolutely.
Okay, so restless leg syndrome. Okay, what is that?
So, well, it's a movement disorder where at nighttime our legs are running a marathon, and you won't even know it because you're asleep. But if your bed partner feels kicked around in the morning or blankets are all kicked around, it suggests that your legs are not still and resting while the rest of you are, and that'll leave you tired during the day. The doctors will give a medication called Mirapex or a cousin to it, actually. I don't virtually ever use that. What you want to do is you want to check a iron test. And if you get an iron test, it's actually the wrong test. It has to be called ferritin. F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N. You check the blood test, ignore the normal range, to ask the doctor for the result. The studies show that if the ferritin iron level is under 60, giving iron will help the restless leg syndrome. It's considered normal if it's over 12, which, to quote the researchers in the study, the normal range is insane. And researchers in studies are pretty sedate, stayed a lot. They don't really, take for that, but that's a quote. You want it over 60. You want to take some magnesium, maybe 200 milligrams of magnesium at bedtime. Low thyroid and low adrenal will both cause restless leg syndrome. So you want to try a 1-ounce protein snack at bedtime, like a hard-boiled egg. That'll help maintain stable blood sugars and decrease the tendency. And if you have the weight gain, cold intolerance, optimized thyroid. With these simple things, the restless leg syndrome will usually settle down. If not, the medication that I use is called Neurontin. It's a very good, cheap medication and can be very helpful for that problem as well.
Okay. Now, does restless leg syndrome, does that only happen at night, or can it sometimes happen during the day? Because I know sometimes I get this weird feeling and I just got to move my leg. It's not all the time, but just every once in a while it just happens.
It absolutely can happen during the day. And in fact, when I call it restless leg syndrome, that's a misnomer. It should be called periodic leg movement disorder or sleep when it's happening at nighttime. And then during the day, it's called restless leg syndrome. So I'm using kind of the lay language. So absolutely. And I'll see people, you know, you're sitting there talking to them and their legs look like Bugs Bunny tapping this little tune out on the floor. And that's restless leg syndrome during the day.
Okay. All right. And if we take some magnesium, does that help?
Magnesium helps. Optimizing thyroid can help. Taking care of adrenal can help. But again, most importantly, make sure that ferritin test for iron is over 60.
Okay. All right. Sinusitis and nasal congestion, irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm-hmm. If you have these, you have candida overgrowth in most cases. That's yeast. And we're used to hearing about that as yeast vaginal infections. But it's much more of an issue when it's in the sinuses. Mayo Clinic study showed that over 90% of chronic sinusitis is associated with fungal overgrowth in the nose and sinuses.
Really?
And irritable bowel syndrome, it can be bacterial or fungal. And there's a very, it's a very expensive high-tech test, but it's just worth mentioning to tell the difference. What you do is when you pass gas, notice if it has a sulfur smell. If you think back to grade school, there'd always be one little kid who would pass these silent but deadlies and then turn around and smirk at everybody. If it smells like that, it's a bacterial infection. And there's a supplement called Ultra Forte MFP, and that will take care of the bacterial infections. You can use a medication called rifaximin, which is excellent. That'll take for 10 days. It'll knock out the bacterial infection. If it doesn't have that smell, it's likely candida. And for that, the medication Diflucan, 200 milligrams a day, one day won't do squat. It has to be for at least 6 weeks, combined with, again, either the Ultra Forte, nystatin, berberine, that and a good probiotic, and will knock out the irritable bowel syndrome in many cases. And if you have the sinusitis, I will have a compounding pharmacy make a special compounded sinusitis nose spray. Your doctor can order it from ITC Pharmacy. If you look it online there in Colorado, they can ship it out. And
what's
that combined with the Diflucan. It's a mix of an antifungal, two antibacterials, beclomethasone, the xylitol and bismuth. So it knocks out both bacterial and fungal infections, breaks up the biofilms, and makes a very unhospitable environment for the infections in the nose and sinuses, and shrinks the swelling so that it can all drain and heal. So those two together very often will knock out the chronic sinusitis, even in people who have had multiple surgeries that failed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good to know. Okay. Afternoon energy drop.
Yep. If you're getting about 2 to 4 in the afternoon, now, it's normal after lunch to see an energy drop while your body is digesting food, because your body is shifting all the blood to the gut and away from your brain, and that's normal. But if it's lasting more than an hour, the first thing you do is just splash some cold water on your face. But better yet, if you find yourself draining in the energy in the afternoon, get 8 to 12 ounces of cold water and drink it. And you may find that your energy picks right back up within a minute. And a simple way to tell, I mean, the way we tell for thirsty is, well, that's where the term thirsty came from. You can tell. But we are so used to ignoring that social in our modern world that we don't take time to even notice if we're thirsty. But normally, if you're not thirsty and you have a big glass of water, you just can take little sips here and there. But you'll find when your body's water level is low, you can chug down 8 to 12 ounces pretty quickly. So when you drink it, notice how quickly it goes down. But the simplest thing, drink 8 to 12 ounces of cold water and see if your energy level picks right back up. If so, you're dehydrated. Be as simple as that.
Okay. You know, I was told years ago that to help with digestion, we shouldn't drink cold water while we eat. We probably shouldn't drink anything while we eat. Is this because the we need kind of the fire in the gut to help digest it, and when you put cold water on top of it, it sort of slows that down. Is that, do you agree with that?
Yes and no. How's that for a straightforward answer? Here's the thing. You know, I can give you 18,000 things that will have some benefits and downsides and worses and all the rest, and it'll make you crazy and live your whole life being afraid to put one step in front of the other. So what I want to do is put that statement in perspective. For those of you who have indigestion problems, you get a lot of heartburn, things like that, the digestive enzymes work best at a temperature of 98.6. And if you put cold water that's like 60 degrees in, that makes them a little less effective. But if you put ice drinks, it makes it less effective yet. And one of the main reasons for indigestion, it's not too much stomach acid. It's poor digestion. And then any stomach acid that's in there will reflux up into the food pipe and burn. So even if you have too little stomach acid, you know, you take something to turn off stomach acid, it won't reflux and burn, but you're not getting any digestion. So if you want to optimize digestion, and I'm going to give another tool for people who have digestive and other problems. There's if you go to a website called TuneUpDocs, TuneUpDocs.com, there'll be a similar quiz to the energy analysis program, but it also assesses things like digestion. It basically gives a free tune-up in a quiz. And so if your digestion feels fine, then just enjoy whatever you want and don't worry about it. In terms of drinking water with the food, I think it's just fine to drink water while you're eating. And for those who have indigestion, save the ice drinks for in between meals when the indigestion is acting up, and go with warm teas and things that will help the digestion. But the best thing for the digestion is to take a plant-based digestive enzyme. Anyone that's 100% plant-based, most enzymes are animal-based, they do not work for digestion. For digestion, it has to be plant-based. So things like Complete Gest, Digest Gold, there's a host of very good ones out there. Try those a couple with each meal for a week or so and see how your digestion is. It feels much better. You have your answer.
Okay. Okay, that's good. And depression and unhappiness and things like that. So, Okay.
So here's the thing. You know, people say, well, I'm tired. I say, well, are you enjoying your life? I hate it. Do you like what you do? I hate it. Do you like the relationship? I hate it. Well, why do you expect your body to free up a bunch of energy then for you to be doing stuff you hate? Well, so why do you do it? I have no choice. I'm not a crock. you do have a choice. So here's the thing. If you find you're unhappy, now if you're depressed, and there's a simple way to tell between unhappiness and depression, or being sick versus being depressed, people who are sick, and if you ask me a question, do you have many interests? They say, I have 1,000 interests. I'm frustrated. I have no energy, and I feel too sick to do any of them. That's not depression. Depression is, no, I'm not really interested in anything. That's depression.
Okay.
So if you have depression, there's a different kind of curcumin. And again, for curcumin, the only products I'm going to use are ones that have a special high absorption. You're going to be taking 500 pills a day to get the effective amount. So if you take something called Curamed, C-U-R-A-M-E-D, and you take 750 milligrams twice a day, in head-on studies, it was more effective than Zoloft and Prozac medications for depression without the side effects. So for the depression, I'm going to give the Vectomega, I'm going to give the Curamed. If it's an irritable depression, I'm going to give chromium. That's a low adrenal problem usually. So, but say you're not depressed, but you're stuck in a position you don't like. I'm going to go back to the recommendation we started the show with, which is I want you to take a sheet of paper, write down all the things, the main things you spend your time on, and put them in column and leave your brain out of this. If it takes 4 shots of tequila, go for it. Whatever it takes, turn your brain off. It's not a brain exercise. See how it feels. And put the things you do in 2 columns. Feels good, feels bad. And the things that feel bad, you want to see, are there any parts of those that I like? You know, okay, so you can break those into like this part, don't like that part. So if it's in a relationship, like, you know, hate my spouse, then what you want to do is to figure out, okay, what are the things, One of the things, and I have this very simple in 2 minutes, I'm going to give you a solution for this. You know, I want you to start finding just the things you like about your spouse and do it as a game that only focus on those things. When you find your brain going, yeah, but I hate bringing them, first of all, most of that stuff is your own story, and it may not even be so, but that's a different thing. Right now, just focus on the things that feel good about them. What will happen is after 6 weeks, put on the calendar to give us 6 weeks, only those things will start showing up, or she'll leave or he'll leave. Either way, you're
unless you're dealing with somebody like a narcissist, which is, I deal with the
if
abuse
you're dealing with
issues
the narcissist,
all the time.
But that's okay, because if you can find the part, even somebody who's a narcissist may have some beautiful redeeming qualities. And
I've
if you
never
get
found
past,
any.
Well, then leave.
It's not
that's
right,
why
exactly.
In 6 weeks, you'll know if you can find a way that works or it won't work, and you'll leave or they'll leave.
Then you leave,
because,
right.
And you're ahead either way. And with your job, right. Start to find the things that you most enjoy with your work. Focus on those and start to ignore the other ones if you can without being fired. And but start to get a sense of what would really feel good. And not make it total, it doesn't have to be at all practical in the beginning. Just make a list of what would feel good in a job. Then, once you have that, you've set your GPS, then your brain can figure out how to make it happen. Your brain has no idea who you are or what you want. It's a product of what we were programmed that we should do to be good boys and good girls. Our feelings know what's authentic to us. Big, big, important point there.
Okay. Just very, very quickly, because we really are out of time, but I wanted to ask you about the CureMed, and you were saying how it replaces antidepressants. Sometimes antidepressants take, after 6 weeks. Okay. So it's basically the same thing with antidepressants, that it takes them usually about 6 weeks, too. So is it the same kind of neuroreceptor kind of thing that's going on with this, or how does this CureMed work?
It basically, a lot of depression is inflammation. We think about the serotonin, and that's what the Prozac medications focus on. You can just take 5-HTP, 300 milligrams instead. But there's a major inflammatory component. But antidepressants really don't work very well for depression. Now, if you look at the studies, they're only 9% more effective than placebo. So a big part is inflammation, and what the study shows is that when you rebalance inflammation, the depression goes away.
All right, good to know.
But it takes 6 weeks. It takes 6 weeks to shift a lot of body systems. Some medications poison things. They work overnight. You can tear down a building in one day, but if you're rebuilding or building a structure, it takes 6 weeks. And these things build up systems.
So we have to be patient. We just have to be patient when we're trying to make these changes in our bodies. Okay. Wow, we got a lot in. I think we covered it all. Okay, so the free energy analysis program is vitality101.com. Is there anything else, anyplace else that we can go to learn about what you do?
Well, if there's a website, that one, the vitality101.com, would have most of the tools. If you go to endfatigue.com, it'll have a lot of the supplements, but these are really readily available in health food stores too. So E, N like Nancy, D like David, the word fatigue.com, and the Cures A to Z app. It's like having my brain in your pocket, just a lot less messy.
Okay. Oh, you're a riot. Okay. I love the way you put things. So we are out of time. It's been great to have you back. And I'm going to, you know, each time you come, I get a little more of something that I'm going to put into play. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this into play, and I'll have to let you know how it's going. So anyway, it's been wonderful. Thank you for coming back and being my guest. It's always great.
Always a pleasure, Randy. Aloha, everybody.
Aloha. All right, so we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And as always, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com, or visit her on Facebook, at Randy G. Fine.